So I'll be speaking from the passage of Acts chapter 3, which was just read to us. So let's start. So our society promotes health and well-being. We want to be in the moment, being who we are now. Sort of, we're encouraged to be real to ourselves. It shows, like you may remember, that the Biggest Loser or Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. They seek to encourage us to improve our health, to be better persons, to be better people. Or a show like Australia Ninja Warrior, where very fit people compete to do extreme athletic events, and they're examples of high athleticism, and we're told to esteem to these things. These people are held up high. And the slogan is like, eat well, sleep well, feel well, and the old classic one of an apple a day keeps the doctor away. We want to be well. As part of our society, we're encouraged to be healthy, to be strong. To be well is what people want. And I do too, don't get me wrong. And it's like, if you get sick, what do? We want to get better. We reach for the strep sore, we reach for the Codral. As soon as we get a sore throat, we want to be better. We don't want to be sick. And like I said, I want to be healthy. As soon as my eyes start to fail, I've got my glasses in my top pocket, I want to be able to see better. As my hearing starts to fail, I've got my hearing aids on so I can hear you. We want to be better. We want to be restored to good health. And all these things show us a desire in our day-to-day lives to be healthy. But my question for you is, do we have the same desire to be spiritually healthy? Are we concerned when we feel a little bit sort of spiritually unhealthy to reach to the doctor? Do we understand? Do we have a desire to be spiritually strong? Do we notice when we're spiritually sick? And I think it's an encouragement to remember that Jesus is our spiritual doctor, and we need to always look to Him. So in our passage in Acts chapter 3, it's a passage. It's a story about a healing of a man, a healing of a lame man. But the story is much greater than just this healing. It has much more to say to us than this. But what I want to do first, before we get to that, look at that chapter, is just to take a couple of steps back and just know what's happened in Acts up to this point, and just where we're up to. So in Acts chapter... I'll turn my page too quickly. Yeah, so in Acts chapter 3, sorry, I've lost my point completely. Sorry, here we go. So in Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus, Acts chapter 1 is Jesus has died on the cross and he's been risen to life again. And he's telling his disciples to wait for the promise from the Father, from the Holy Spirit. And we're told of the ascension, we're then told of the ascension of Jesus, where he's taken up into heaven and he's glorified. And then after that, we're told about the Pentecost, where the promised Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and when they're unable to speak of the mighty acts of God in many languages there. And this, as we see at the start of Acts, is the start of the early church. And again, there are lots of these significant events happening at this time in the gospel, and people are being told to repent and trust in Jesus' name. So, in that context of Acts, where I suppose I want to say, as I go through this talk, I'll cover it in 4 points. I want to recap on the story of the healing of the lame man. I'm wanting us to then look at Peter's explanation. And so as he explains how the people have got Jesus wrong. And then the third point then is Peter's explanation of getting Jesus right. And then last point is then the application. How does this affect us? So as we so the story then, as we look at the beginning of Acts chapter 3 in verse 1. Let me read to you from verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at about 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple, called Beautiful, so that he could beg for those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. So have you ever come across a beggar? In my commute to work, I often catch the train to Redfern Station. And at the station there are often a couple of guys who are standing there, I should say, they're sitting there, and they typically don't look at you. Their heads are down, but they have a cup in their hand and they're wanting us to give them some money. It's an interesting relationship because most people, including me, don't really stop and give them much time. But I think the lame man in this story in Acts chapter 3 is far worse off than these guys at Redfern Station. The lame man was carried to the temple gate every day. He couldn't walk and he couldn't get there on his own. He was brought to the temple but was not allowed to go into the temple. The Old Testament law made it unclean and unacceptable for him to enter the temple. His condition made him ceremonially unclean. And you might say he was considered to be an outcast. It really wasn't a nice feeling. And I mean, if you think about it, if you've ever been, it couldn't have been a nice feeling to be excluded in that sort of way. Everyone else, you might say, gets invited to the party, but you don't get an invitation. Everyone else is allowed to go in, but you're left out. You're not welcome. And this guy wasn't welcome. But this was his situation every day. And you could expect that all his hope was gone, that he had just lost hope in life. I mean, the guy had been from birth, he was lame from birth. And we're told later on that he's now 40 years old. So for 40 years, this guy's been lame and not able to care for himself. So all he was doing at that time, all he was hoping for was that someone coming into the temple would give him something. He would give him a little bit of money, just a little bit of help. Because in those days there were no welfare payments, there was no handout from the government. He needed to be cared for. And so as we continue to read in verse 4, Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said to the lame man, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, at once his feet and ankles became strong, and so he jumped up and started to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Could you imagine that, being lame for 40 years, in such a hopeless state, and then all of a sudden you can walk and jump? Could you imagine that? I think it's for me, it's nearly like I've been able to walk my whole life, and I think that's just amazing. I mean, you couldn't imagine anything better, from a state of total helplessness and dependence on other people to being perfectly well. It was an amazing thing to happen. But there is much more going on in this story, and the context helps us to understand that situation. This lame man had come to the temple every day. And if you remember, the temple is a place where the glory of God dwelt, where people would come before God to offer sacrifices and for their sins to be dealt with. They were hoping for their relationship with God to be restored, that they might be healed. But this guy had been lame for 40 years. Where was his healing? What was happening in the temple? What was God doing would have been in his mind? Why wasn't he healed? Something obviously hasn't been working properly for him. Something was wrong. So notice what brought about the lame man's healing. He said, in the name of Jesus, he was raised and he could walk. So understand the power that was on display in this situation. In the name of Jesus, he was healed. He had been hanging around the temple for 40 years and nothing had happened, and now in a second he'd been healed in the name of Jesus. This is powerful stuff. We have to recognise that Jesus is powerful. He is powerful to heal. But notice also what he was able to do. He could walk, he could jump, but he was also able to enter the temple. And entering the temple is probably something was the first time he'd ever done in his life, because he'd been crippled from birth. He was now welcome to the party. He could be included, able to join in. He was able to come before God in the temple and praise him. In fact, this healing, I think, is an example of the gospel itself, that by the power of Jesus we can be restored to health and brought back into relationship with God. It's the summary of, it's a summary of the great news of the gospel that we hear and we read in the Bibles today. But listen to the crowd's response in verse 9. It says, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognised that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened. And while he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them. It was a bit like a stampede. Everyone was running to find out what had happened, how this guy had been healed. And when Peter saw this, in verse 12, he addressed the people. He said, fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we made this guy walk by our own power and godliness? The people were amazed, and rightly so. They were amazed because the lame man could now walk, and they were asking the question, what had happened? How did this happen? And I'd be asking the question too. The Israelites were amazed because they didn't know the answer. But really, they should have been amazed because they did know the answer. They should have been amazed because they understood who Jesus was and who had enabled this guy to walk. They should have understood. And this is the situation that Peter now responds to as he explains this healing. So my point two, Peter's explanation, how they got Jesus wrong. How they got Jesus wrong. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, I told you so, you should have known better? Or maybe you're the person who says, I told you so, you should have known better. You say this because in the past you've told someone or given someone some advice that you think is important to help them, but they've ignored you and they've gone their own way. And now what you've said to them has come back to bite them. Peter's explanation is a little bit like this for Israel. They should have known better. The Israelites were people who knew the Old Testament. They knew the promises God had made through their ancestors, and they were looking for God, looking forward to God's restoration. They were looking forward to God's Messiah. And we read this in verse 12 and 13. Peter said, fellow Israelites, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, he glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied to Pilate, before Pilate. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released in his place. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses to this. In verse 16, by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that has come through Jesus has given him perfect health in front of you all. The people listening here, these guys were Israelites. They were people who had the law and had been passed down from Abraham, from Isaac and from Jacob. They were people who were looking forward to the Messiah. They were people who were looking forward to God restoring his people. But Peter is saying to them, remember Jesus? You Israelites sent him to the cross and killed him. But the God of our ancestors, the God who you worship, this God has glorified him. You killed the author of life, but God has raised him from the dead. God has confirmed he is the holy and righteous one. He is the Messiah. Peter is telling them a very big, I told you so. He's saying, you got it wrong. You weren't listening. In fact, as we think about it, the whole Old Testament, which these guys knew, had been pointing to the Messiah, had been pointing to Jesus, but they did not recognise him. They should have understood who he was, but they got it wrong. They got it very, very wrong. Getting Jesus wrong is a bit like falling asleep at the wheel. It has huge consequences. If you're driving along and you fall asleep, obviously serious things happen. The Israelites had fallen asleep at the wheel. They were about to crash, but they hadn't quite crashed yet. But if, as a driver, if you get the tap on the shoulder saying, wake up, quick, something's about to happen, Peter is giving these guys the tap on the shoulder, the wake-up call. Peter is saying to them, they've got it wrong, but you still have a chance. So this is point three, Peter's explanation, getting Jesus right. Getting Jesus right. Their chance is to understand Jesus and respond correctly. In Peter's explanation, he shows how God had been telling us about Jesus coming into our world. He's been saying this for generations, since the time of Moses and the prophets, that Jesus is the prophet, the Messiah, to bring restoration to the world. And this is what Peter is telling us, is the Israelites. Peter is wanting to explain Jesus to them so they understand why the lame man was healed, so they understand God's purposes for the world. It's about restoration. It's about restoration and healing. If you have a hobby like restoring an old piece of furniture or maybe an old car, we try to bring it up back to its new state. And what God is doing as he is restoring, what God is doing in this, in his process of restoring, is trying to restore us back to his, back into right relationship with himself. This is the restoration that Peter is explaining. And in his explanation, he quotes from Moses. And in verse 22, Moses had said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to him, to everything he tells you." And then in verse 24, "In addition to all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and from Moses after him, these days have been foretold." Peter is telling them that God has been working through all the prophets, through Moses and through Samuel. The prophets have been saying the days of God's prophet, God's Messiah, are coming. But what Peter is explaining is that the days of God's prophet, God's Messiah, are here. And that this prophet is Jesus. Jesus is the one that they have been waiting for. Jesus is the one that we've been waiting for also. So you know, when you say, "I told you so," it's because a particular situation has been shown you to be right and the other person to be wrong. Or at least that's what you think. And you want the other person to say, "You were right, I'll change, I'll do it your way." This is what Peter is saying to the Israelites. Through the prophets, God has been telling them for a long time that they need to change and do it God's way. And this is their chance. This is our chance. In verse 18, we continue to read. It says, "In this way, God fulfilled what he predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. He says, therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out." And then in verse 26, "God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways." Peter is wanting them to repent, to change, to say, to turn away from what they've done before and to change in their understanding of Jesus. Peter is saying that God has fulfilled what he predicted would happen. That Jesus, the Messiah, would suffer, that he would die on the cross, and that Jesus raised him up again to life. Therefore, Peter is telling the Israelites to repent. He's saying, "You killed Jesus, but you got it wrong. God has shown us who he is, that he is the Messiah. So now turn from your evil ways and turn to Jesus, so their sins may be wiped out." The lame man's healing was through the power of Jesus. It wasn't through Peter or John, and it wasn't through the law or the temple. The Israelites needed to stop looking elsewhere, and they needed to look to Jesus and understand the power that he has to heal. In the healing of the lame man, we start to see how God brings in the blessings, of God that he had promised, the blessings that are about restoration. The lame man was restored to perfect health after putting his faith in Jesus. So as we understand this, we also need to see the warning that is in this explanation, a warning to those who do not listen, a warning to those who do not respond to the "I told you so." So the quote from Moses continues. It says in verse 23, "And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people." The Israelites have a chance to repent, but if they do not take it seriously, there are serious consequences that will follow. If they continue in their ways of denying Jesus as prophet, the one Moses said that they should listen to, if they continue to reject the one that God has glorified, they are rejecting God also. They will be separated from God's people and also separated from God. But we need to hear this warning also. If we deny Jesus, the author of life, the one who God has glorified, we too will be separated from God's people and also separated from God. But God doesn't want this to happen. That's why he sent Jesus into our world in the first place. God wants us to be in relationship with him, and we need to respond to this warning. We need to respond to Jesus correctly. So my last point then is, so how does this therefore affect us? So as we consider this passage, we need to be ensured that we have right understanding of Jesus and the right expectation of healing. We need to make sure that we don't make the same mistake as the Israelites and misunderstand Jesus. We need to ensure in our daily lives we just don't get caught up in whatever is happening every day, whatever's going on around us, in our jobs, in our families, in our culture, and forget about Jesus. We need to ensure that we don't live our lives day by day without treating him as Lord and not recognising who Jesus is. We need to be careful that we just don't treat Jesus maybe as, like you may have heard, like a slot machine. That we think, I've got a problem today, I'm not feeling that well, I'll just throw up a prayer, God will make me better. And it's like putting your money into a slot machine, you pull the lever and you hope to win a prize. Our relationship with God, that's not treating God as Jesus as Lord. It's getting him wrong. We need to keep coming before him and trusting in him and recognising who he is. But we also need to recognise what our greatest need for healing is. Our greatest need for healing is not our physical healing, but it's actually our spiritual healing. We need to come before Jesus as our spiritual doctor. We need to know that Jesus does provide healing for our greatest need. He is powerful to do this. He is able to restore our relationship with God. He is able to forgive our sins. And sometimes I think we see this as a little bit hard. It's not quite as tangible as being sick. But we need to trust in who Jesus shows himself to be and trust in what he's done. That is, he is the Messiah. He is God's promised one. That he died on the cross and that he rose to life again, and through this we're able to be forgiven and our relationship with God restored. So we see that the Israelites were relying on the temple, but we saw by the healing of the lame man that the temple didn't actually heal him. It was faith in Jesus that brought him healing and restoration. And it's faith in Jesus that brings healing and restoration to us also, to our relationship with God. So we too need to come before God and repent and have faith and trust in him. Let me just pray as I finish up now. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you because Jesus is the Christ. He is our Messiah. He is the one who died on the cross and rose to life and enables our lives to be restored with you. Thank you that he is our spiritual doctor, that he can fix our health and our relationship with you. Help us to see that our relationship with you is our greatest need and that Jesus does answer this. Therefore, help us to continue to trust in him and know that he is our Lord. Amen.